when Krishna was playing his flute, Madhu Mangal, he became very worried. He began to pray, "O Gopal, Giridhar Lal, please stop playing your flute, because your flute is creating such ecstasy in your devotees that we know that when you play your flute, liquid objects become solid, and solid objects become like liquid. Animate objects become paralyzed and cannot move, and inanimate objects begin to tremble and move." So we're thinking that Govardhan Hill, hearing your flute, it becomes so ecstatic that it may tremble and fall from your finger. It may tremble so uncontrollably that you cannot hold it and it may fall. Or you know what else may happen? It may melt in ecstasy. And then it will just drown us all. Seeing the situation, the Brijabasis, some of them approached Srimati Radharani. And they told her that, "Dear Sri Radhika, please do not smile at Govinda. And whatever you do, don't make your eyebrows dance before him. Because if you do, he will begin to tremble in ecstasy and the hill might fall on all of our heads." One gopi, she said that, We know why Krishna, while holding Govardhan Hill, is crying and his limbs are trembling and he's perspiring. It is because he sees the beauty of his beloved Srimati Radharani. We know that. But the rest of the Brijabasis, they think that he's crying and trembling and perspiring due to the great effort that he's making of holding up Govardhan Hill. And that's why the gopas have all brought sticks. Seeing Krishna trembling, crying, perspiring, and the hill starting to move, they're all thinking that he needs their help. So the gopas are holding sticks. And Nectar of Devotion explains how once Krishna saw the beauty of Srimati Radharani and he began to really tremble. And the hill began to move. And the gopas with their sticks, they were holding. And Balaram smiled. And Krishna was thinking that the reason Balaram's smiling is because he must have saw me glancing at the beautiful form of Srimati Radharani. That's why he's smiling. So the gopas were thinking that Krishna cannot hold up this hill. It's actually, we're holding up the hill with our sticks. And the gopis were thinking, Krishna can't hold up this Govardhan Hill. It's only the loving smiles and glances of Srimati Radharani that is empowering him to do this work. When Krishna was glancing at Sri Radhika, very shyly, seeing the whole phenomena of everything that was happening, she looked down. And then she looked up and she smiled upon Krishna. And that smile was just beaming upon him and drowned him in an ocean of nectar. Yashoda, in her ras of Vatsalya, she was in great anxiety, thinking that Krishna hasn't eaten in so many days and he's doing this very hard work of holding up the hill. She would pray to Krishna, "Please stop playing your flute and let me give some prasad to you. Put your flute down and eat. You haven't eaten in days." And besides that, Balaram, he's hungry, and he won't eat until you eat. So out of compassion for your older brother, please take some food. All the different devotees, according to their particular rasas, were having the most intimate experience of love with Krishna. The Brahmins, who are in Santaras, they were simply astonished to see Krishna standing there, smiling upon everyone in his threefold bending form for 7 days, holding up the Giriraj. And for Raktak and Patrak and the other cowherd boys who were in a mood of Dasyaras, servants, they were just offering every type of little service to Giridhari. They were fanning him and they were doing so many things for him. And the cowherd boys, while Krishna was lifting the Govardhan Hill, they were just making jokes with him and laughing with him and playing with him. And Subal and others were just encouraging, "Well done, Krishna, well done." Playfully, just enjoying time with Krishna. For them, it was the most wonderful experience, because usually, on ordinary days, they would play with Krishna all day, but then at night, Krishna would go with gopis, and they were not allowed to be there. But for 7 days, 24 hours a day, everyone was with Krishna, enjoying ecstatic rasas simultaneously. And gopis, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all the elderly gopas and gopis, they were simply in the ecstasy of parental affection, thinking Krishna's finger must hurt so much by now. Krishna must be hungry. How is this happening? And the gopis, they were exchanging to their heart's content the most intimate rasas of conjugal love with Krishna just by exchanging smiles and glances 24 hours a day, 7 days. This Govardhan Leela is very unique and special, because in this Leela, Krishna is simultaneously enjoying the intimate affection of all five rasas with all his different varieties of devotees to their full heart's content. He's enjoying Santaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras with his servants all at one time. So what appeared to be the greatest calamity that had ever come upon the residents of Vrindavan became the greatest source of pleasure for all of them. Yashoda was still so much tormented by the thought that 7 days Krishna hasn't eaten anything. So she prepared some tambula. And she said, "Please, dear Krishna, put down your flute and eat this." She gave the tambula to cowherd boy Subal and said, "Please take the flute out of his hand and put it in his mouth." So Subal did just that. He took flute out of Krishna's hand and put the tambula in Krishna's mouth, who chewed it. And Mother Yashoda began to smile very happily. For 7 days and seven nights, the residents of Vrindavan enjoyed ecstatic rasas with Krishna, who appeared as Sri Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. For Indra, it seemed like 7 millenniums. He was working so hard, all of his powers with all of his servants trying to defeat Krishna, but he couldn't. And to the Brijabasis, that 7 days seemed like 7 joy-filled hours. Ultimately, Indra realized that he was defeated. He was powerless to move a single grain of sand from Govardhan Hill with all of his strengths. And he himself, when he saw the Samvartaka clouds, couldn't do anything, he just started showering thunderbolts and yelling and screaming. He was mad. He was tormented with anger. Everything within his powers, he was just throwing at Govardhan. He was screaming like a madman. And nothing worked. Finally, the Samvartaka clouds were exhausted. He was exhausted. So he told them, go away. He realized, this is my Lord and Master. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is from him whom all my powers are coming from. I'm so ignorant. I'm so proud. I'm such a fool. I'm trying to destroy him and his devotees. So all the clouds left. The sky became clear. Again, the sun came out. Krishna told the residents of Vrindavan that now everything is safe. The sun is out. Indra's pride is smashed. Now it's very safe. You can all go to your appropriate homes, and I will place down the Govardhan Hill. The cows, being ordered by Krishna to leave him and go back into the pasture grounds, they couldn't stop looking at him in this beautiful form of the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Krishna said, go back to the pastures, it is safe. They left the place, but then immediately they all came back. Krishna said, go. And they started leaving, but then they turned around and came back. Out of love, they could not give up the association of the Lord. But then to please him, they all went back to the pasture grounds. When all the residents of Vrindavan had come out from beneath the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, Krishna very effortlessly placed the Govardhan Hill back into the ground exactly from where he had taken it. While he lifted Govardhan Hill, not a single person even got wet with a drop of water, because by his mystic powers, after the water would fall from the top of the hill, he would dry up the water before it would come to the ground. They were all fully satisfied. For that 7 days, just looking upon Krishna and seeing his smiling face, nobody even considered hunger, thirst, or sleep. They were immersed in the ultimate perfection of all samadhi, to repose all their affection in Krishna. After Krishna placed the hill down, all of the devotees expressed their love to him according to their positions. Yashoda Mai and the older gopis, they began to massage his little finger. It must hurt after all this. Others were massaging his left arm. Others were massaging his other parts of the bodies and putting blessings on him. The cowherd men were embracing him and smelling his head and offering him various blessings. The gopas, they were laughing and dancing and embracing him. The servants were offering obeisances to him. And the gopis, from a little distance away, they were simply smiling upon him. And with his return smile, they took that smile through their eyes and brought it right to the core of their hearts and embraced him with eternal, unlimited feelings of love. All the residents of Vrindavan returned to their homes and to their respective duties, and the demigods and the heavenly planets began to offer beautiful prayers, worshiping Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers, and the protector of his devotees. Krishna simultaneously protected the Brijabasis from the wrath of Indra, and at the same time protected Indra from his own false pride. He's also protecting all of us by showing us that Krishna will always protect his devotees, and how the greatest protection he will give is to somehow or other create an environment where our pride is smashed. Because what is the use of scholarship? What is the use of austerities? What is the use of performing all kinds of very Herculean tasks in the service of the Lord if we're not pleasing him? And without humility, we cannot please Krishna. Not really. Austerities, cultivation of knowledge, all of these things actually make one's heart hard if we're not cultivating the menial spirit of humility and service. And what Krishna's pleased with is the softness of our hearts, not simply who we are, what we know, or what we have done, or what we are doing. The gopas were astounded to see little 7-year-old Krishna defeat the king of heaven, Indra. They couldn't believe it. How is this possible? They were thinking that on one hand, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. On the other hand, we know who Krishna is. He's like our son. You see, every older gopa in Vrindavan, they considered Krishna their own son. They loved him more than their own children. And they were thinking in their hearts and discussing amongst each other also that if any one of us do not show Krishna proper attention and affection, then he becomes very morose and he starts to cry. And sometimes he's very talkative and speaks all kinds of things. And when there's thunder, he'll cry and run to Mother Yashoda for shelter. Other times, he eats too much sweets, and he feels that he has a bad stomach, and he starts to cry and runs to Mother Yashoda. Sometimes he steals, he engages in naughty activities of stealing butter and yogurt from our houses. He seems like such a helpless, ordinary child. How is it possible that he lifted this Govardhan hill? Who is Krishna? So they inquired from Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj responded that I will reveal to you the truth about our son Krishna. It is a great wonder. During the name-giving ceremony in a secret cowshed, Gargamuni informed me. He told me that Krishna is the Supreme Lord Narayan, that he appears in every millennium to protect his devotees and to reestablish the principles of religion. He had previously appeared in a white color, he appeared in a red color, and he has appeared in a golden yellow color. And now he's appearing as your son in this blackish form. He will give ultimate pleasure and happiness to all the Brijabasis and protect all of you from all dangers. He has many names according to his pastimes, his qualities, his forms. And he is worshipped since time immemorial. And he will be the greatest pleasure giver to all the inhabitants of Gokul. The cowherd men were astounded. They actually began to inquire from Nanda Maharaj. In fact, it was prior to Nanda Maharaj revealing this truth to them. They were saying that we saw that Krishna, when he was only an infant baby, he killed the mighty Rakshasi Putana. When he was only 3 months old, with his little tiny lotus foot, he kicked the cart and killed the mighty demon Shakatasura. when he was only 1 year old. The mighty demon Trinavarta in the form of a whirlwind took him high in the sky, and just by squeezing his neck, he killed him. And then we saw how he pulled that big, big, heavy wooden grinding mortar between those two gigantic trees, the Arjuna trees, and pulled them down to the ground. Bakasura came in the form of a massive crane and tried to eat Krishna, and Krishna pulled his beak apart, bifurcated him, and killed him. And then Batsasura, mighty, powerful, horrible Rakshasa, appeared in the guise of a little tiny calf. And Krishna pulled him by his legs, wheeled him around, and threw him into the trees, and made all the kapita fruits fall from the trees. So he used Vatsasura just to bring down the fruits so he can eat them with his friends. And then there was Denukasura. His Balaram killed Denukasura. But then all the ass-like associates of Denukasura were killed by Krishna and Balaram in the Talavan forest, just so we could all go there and taste the wonderful sweet tal fruits. And after Pralambasura was killed by Balaram, there was that raging, terrible fire. And Krishna, he swallowed the entire fire in a moment. And then there was the lake of Kaliya. It was poisonous. If even a bird flew overhead, it would fall and die due to the poisonous vapors. Krishna jumped in that lake and danced on the heads of the terrible demoniac serpent Kaliya and sent him to the ocean in exile. Krishna's only a little child, 7 years. His every limb is softer than butter. And on that side is the gigantic Govardhan Hill. Please tell us, Nanda Maharaj, who is Krishna? Then Nanda Maharaj revealed the secret that was told to him by Sri Gargamuni. Meanwhile, Indra felt horrible. He was really embarrassed. Not only all the denizens of his heavenly planet, Swargalokas, but the other demigods, his servants, they are all watching as this little talkative 7-year-old boy completely flustered all Indra's attempts to show his powers. Indra's false ego was utterly demolished. Giridhar Lal Ki Jai. That is mercy. He became sober. Just like when a person is intoxicated by some alcohol or drug, he acts in ways that are very abnormal. But then when you become sober, you realize who you are and what you're supposed to do. So pride does that to us. Indra became very sober, and he was repenting that Krishna's my beloved Lord. He's my master. He's my everything. And I tried to kill him and all of his devotees. What kind of a rascal am I? He was beside himself with grief, humiliation. At that time, he didn't know how I could possibly approach Krishna in this situation. So he approached Lord Brahma. Brahma told him, don't try to approach Krishna after what you've done. You have to approach through his beloved devotees. And he loves the cows. He is Govinda. If you get the help of Surabhi, the celestial cow, if she appeals to Krishna on your behalf, certainly he will hear your words of forgiveness. So here was Indra, king of heaven. Big, big jeweled crown, powerful arms, wielder of the thunderbolt, riding on a majestic white elephant, Airavata. He's approaching with folded hands, Mother Li Kao, begging, please approach Krishna and beg to him to forgive me. So Krishna came along with Surabhi from the planet in this material universe called Goloka. Surabhi was very affectionate. She came to Braja wanting to congratulate and worship Krishna for saving all of her descendants, the cows of Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Indra was just drowning in an ocean of humiliation. And Krishna, he didn't want to further humiliate Indra. He already learned his lesson. So he wanted to approach him in a private place. So Krishna, with the excuse of going to check out what the condition of Braja pastures were after this rainfall, he went off alone. He left all the gopas. And there Indra was standing with his head low in shame. And Surabhi Mataji approached Krishna and said, my Lord, you are our Indra. Indra means controller. You are our Indra. You are the one who has protected. You are the one who can give us all shelter. We know no other object of worship than you. But this other so-called Indra, he made a big mistake, and he realizes his mistake. Look at him. He's drowning in an ocean of regret. Please be merciful and forgive him. This is the process. If we offend the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are not entitled to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we read again and again from the Holy Scriptures and from the words of the great souls that you can only approach Krishna through his servants. Only if the spiritual masters appeal to us and approach Krishna on our behalf, only if they pray for forgiveness for our sins will Krishna hear our prayers. It is said that by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. If we have sinned and offended Krishna, we cannot approach him directly. But with the blessings and the mercy of the spiritual masters, then only can we approach Krishna. Then only will he take our prayers seriously. Thus, through this Leela, Krishna wanted to establish that there is no other way to approach God except through the consciousness of being the humble servant of the servant of the servant. And what does it mean to be the servant? First of all, you have to give up your misconceptions of who you are, what you know, or what you've done. Indra was able to approach Surabhi. She was not powerful like Indra. She was not learned like Indra. She was not opulent like Indra. She was just a simple cow. But she was dear to Krishna. Therefore, Indra dropped altogether all his misconceptions that I am powerful, I am beautiful, I am famous, I am learned. And he fell to take shelter at the feet of a cow. Similarly, this is what it means to be servant of the servant of the servant. This is what it means to approach the spiritual master and the great personalities. If we think we know something, if we think we are something special, then our heart is not receptive to their mercy. But Indra approached humble like a blade of grass, with no more sense of the misconception of his position or his prowess. And because he was genuine, Krishna heard his prayers. Because Surabhi appealed on behalf of Indra, Krishna allowed Indra to approach him directly. Indra repented. He offered his prayers to the Lord that you are the supreme controller of all controllers. Due to my ignorance, I did not recognize who you were. Due to my pride, I thought that I could challenge you. But your body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. You are above and beyond the modes of material nature. You are the inconceivable, inexhaustible, supreme, absolute truth. You are my eternal master. And yet I dared to take your activities of accepting worship toward Govardhan Hill as a challenge. Therefore, I am most fallen. I am most ignorant. I am the greatest fool. I beg forgiveness. I beg you that you kindly give me shelter at your lotus feet. Because Indra was humble, and he offered these prayers from his heart, Krishna forgave him. Then Indra appealed to Krishna that you are the real Indra. Let the universe know it. We want to perform an Abhishek worship for you. Krishna agreed. At that time, Lord Brahma and the various demigods and sages and celestial denizens came to perform the great Abhishek for Lord Krishna. First, they sat Krishna on a throne on Govardhan Hill. Then Varuna came to shelter Krishna with a beautiful umbrella that was white as snow, with pearls draping the edges of the umbrella. Because Varuna is the lord of the water, he came with umbrella to shade Krishna. Then Vayu, who's the lord of wind, he was standing beside Krishna with a chamara to offer wind to Krishna by fanning him. Then Chandra, the god of the moon, who illuminates the darkness of the sky, he appeared in the form of a beautiful, bejeweled mirror to reflect Krishna's transcendental image. Then Panchajanya, the Lord's conch shell, he appeared and began to make beautiful conch shell sounds to invoke auspiciousness throughout the world. Then Krishna's club, Komodik, appeared and stood straight, offering his honor and respects to Lord Sri Krishna. Then all the various bodies of water, the oceans, the rivers, the lakes, the ponds from all over the universe came and offered their own waters to be used for the Abhishek bathing ceremony of Sri Krishna. And Bhumi appeared, and she had a box covered with the seven types of precious jewels, and in that box was the most precious medicinal herbal earth that she offered to Lord Sri Krishna. And Agni, the Lord of Fire, he came holding an incense pot that had many holes in it, and in it a guru, very, very sweet-smelling incense was flowing out for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. And Garuda, he wanted to offer his services. He just stayed stationary above Krishna and opened his wings to shade Krishna from the sun. And the Nagas, they gathered in a circle around Krishna and opened their hoods like fans representing flags in all directions to make the Abhishekam auspicious. And the personified mantras, every great mantra came in its personified form and started chanting beautiful mantric songs for Krishna. And Surabhi came to offer her Panchagavya. Panchagavya is the ceremonial nectar from the cows that is used to worship Krishna during Abhishek. The cow's milk, cow's yogurt, cow's ghee, cow's dung, and cow's urine. Sri Panchagavya ki jai. Most auspicious. Brahma came with Panchamrita as an offering. Airavata, the beautiful white elephant carrier of Indra. He appeared with vast amounts of Ganges water from the Akash Ganga, which flows in the higher heavenly planets to bathe Lord Krishna. And the Apsaras and the Gandharvas, they were dancing and singing for the pleasure of Krishna and playing beautiful musical instruments. Celestial ladies were showering heavenly flowers upon Krishna's head. In this way, they began the Abhishekam. On Indra's request, Brahma became the head priest of the Abhishekam. And with the celestial waters and celestial substances, he first gave the opportunity for the very chaste ladies to make their offerings of bathing Krishna. They massaged his body with precious herbs and oils and scented ointments. Then they began to pour various substances upon him. Chaste ladies such as Arundhati, the wife of Vishishtamuni, Anasuya, the wife of Atri Muni. And then there was Parvati, who it is explained, without Shiva Singh, offered Krishna a beautiful necklace of jewels. And Saraswati was there to help with the Abhishek, the consort of Lord Brahma. And there was Aditi, the mother of the demigods, and Swaha, the wife of Agnidev. They began bathing Krishna with their transcendental love and devotion. And this continued on. All these great personalities had the chance to bathe Sri Krishna. Then they dried him off and put beautiful silken clothes upon him and decorated him with garlands and jewels. Then Lord Shiva, with his five faces, approached Brahma and said that this small boy here, he should worship Krishna. He should perform the first puja. And who was that small boy? It was the personification of the 18-syllable Gopal mantra, which our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we chant this as the sixth of the Gayatri mantras three times every day. He was in the form of a small boy, like a Gopal. And he came forward under the appeal of Lord Shiva and began to chant the beautiful, sweet Gopal mantra, which awakens pure, unalloyed love of Krishna in the heart of anyone who chants it sincerely and without offense. Attending the ceremony were great sages like Narada Muni, the four Kumaras, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Vasus. It was a glorious ceremony where all the demigods were in the ecstatic bliss of personally witnessing the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Indra, as the Supreme Lord of all lords. It was at that time that Indra appealed to Krishna that because you have given such pleasure and protection to your cows. Therefore, your name will be Govinda. Govinda is one of the eternal names of Krishna. But it appeared within this world during this millennium through the mouth of Indra himself. And then everyone began to chant, Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Everybody. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Hey Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Hey. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Hey Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Hey Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Ha Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari Hari. Hari Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. Nithai Gaur Hari Bo Hari Bo
Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Gaura Premanandi, Shri Giridhar Gopal Ki Jai.
Indra, the king of heaven, with his body decorated with 1,000 eyes, offered his prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Krishna, expressing to him that, Krishna, this Leela of Govardhan was simply your mercy upon me. That through your mercy, you have performed this astounding feat of smashing to pieces my pride. Then Krishna instructed Indra that, yes, what I have done was my mercy upon you, because you are my devotee. And I will not tolerate the anarta of pride to contaminate the heart of my devotee. Because you are very dear to me, out of my love and affection, I perform this Giridhar Leela to smash your pride. Now you return to Swarga Loka and you perform your duties under my order as the king of heaven, but you do it with humility and devotion. Learn this great lesson and never let the enemy of pride again to come into your heart. Indra and all the powerful demigods return to their abodes. Meanwhile, hearing these sounds of kettle drums and celestial instruments, the gopas in the pasture grounds came running to see what is happening. Where is Krishna? And they saw Krishna sitting on the throne of Govardhan Hill. And all around was all this paraphernalia. There was the celestial puja paraphernalia of jeweled arti, the ghee lamps, and the chamaras, incense holders. So laughing and dancing, they all began to worship Krishna. They picked up the chamaras and were fanning him. And they picked up the ghee lamp and started offering artis to him and offering him all these different substances. They were left behind by the denizens of the heavens. And they were singing such cheerful, sweet songs of loving intimacy with Krishna. They were joking with Krishna. They were laughing with Krishna. And Krishna was smiling and laughing with them. And when the demigods heard the songs of the cowherd boys and saw the way they were worshiping Krishna with such intimate, friendly love, the demigods were ashamed. They realized that all their formal pujas, which were exactly according to the Vedic scriptures and the Archan Padhatis, were devoid of the intimate, pure affection of the cowherd boys. Krishna wanted to reveal to the demigods that the love of Vrindavan, which is performed not with the idea that Krishna is God. They were not worshiping as God. The demigods were worshiping him as Indra, the Supreme Lord, Ishwara, Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. But the gopis just saw him as their friend, and they were just playing a game of worshiping him. But the loving exchange was sweet. It was pure. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the real essence of the word pure devotion means without even the contamination of the Aishwarya concept of the Lord being conscious within our heart. This is the month of Damodar. We sing the Damodar Astakam each day. The composer of this beautiful prayer prays, I do not want liberation. I don't even want to be your associate of Narayan and Vaikuntha. I only desire that these beautiful childhood pastimes which you enact in Braj Bhumi may forever be enacted within my heart. The highest, most intimate realization of spiritual truth is personified only in the residence of Vrindavan, where their love for Krishna is unconditional. To love him because he's the Supreme Lord is a condition. They love him simply because he's Krishna. He's my friend. He's my child. He's my beloved. The demigods were ashamed at their own neophyte condition of bhakti when they saw the little cowherd boys jumping around, dancing with their chamaras and ghee lamps, worshiping Krishna and making all kinds of beautiful songs in the Brijabasi language. Hearing this commotion, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men came to see what was happening. And besides that, where is Krishna all this time? And they saw the cowherd boys with these very, very majestic ornamental paraphernalia of puja. And Nanda Maharaj said, what's happening here? Actually, before Nanda Maharaj came, Balaram heard the words and he came running and he saw Krishna getting worshipped by all these cowherd boys. And it was so much fun that Balaram just sat on the throne with Krishna and they just started smiling and laughing with each other. When Nanda Maharaj came and saw this exciting, intimately joyful experience, he asked, where did you get all these things? What's happening? At that time, Sridharma, he said, we were just searching for Krishna because we heard all these noises and we came here and these things were just laying on the ground. So we picked it up and started using it for Krishna's pleasure. And then Madhu Mangal, he said, what happened, Nanda Maharaj, is this. We came. And what I saw, you will not even believe what I saw. First of all, I saw this cow talking to Krishna. And after seeing this talking cow, I saw this person with a big crown on his head, and his body was covered with 1,000 eyeballs. And he was offering prostrated dandavat obeisances to Krishna again and again. Then I saw this big white elephant with many tusks. And he was showering Krishna with water from Akash Ganga, from the heavenly planets. Then I saw this person with 4 heads offering prayers to Krishna. Then I saw another person with 5 heads with matted hairs and water coming out of his head offering prayers to Krishna. And they were all offering abhishekam with beautiful women and all kinds of celestial songs. At that time, a transcendental voice echoed from the sky and told Nanda Maharaj that you should have a coronation ceremony to declare that Krishna is the king of Braja. At that time, Nanda Maharaj performed with the Brijabasis a coronation ceremony declaring that Krishna is the king of Braja. But still, king of Braja or no king of Braja, he's our friend. He's our innocent, helpless child. He's our beloved. These are the transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan. The verse that we're reading today is as follows. Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokul, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. In this way, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. This verse tells everything. We should have no other aspiration in our life than seeking the benediction that Krishna is pleased with us. Because all of our spiritual advancement on the path of bhakti is simply dependent on how Krishna is pleased with us. When we are performing our devotional service, we shouldn't do it with the consciousness that I'm doing it my way because this is what Krishna wants. But rather we should think, what can I do to please Krishna? And how can I do it to please Krishna? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kuto. Krishna is pleased when we please the spiritual master, when we please the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, nothing we do will please Krishna. So this should be our prayer always in whatever we do, with an honest and earnest heart. May Lord Govinda be pleased upon us. The celebration of Govardhan Puja was established all over the world by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On this very day, in hundreds and hundreds of temples all over the planet, the same Anakut ceremony is taking place. Isn't it a wonderful meditation that all over the world, on this day, people are discussing this particular pastime and sharing their realizations of it? Here at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, our very dear and merciful devotees have worked for many days very hard to prepare offerings. Some with great expense of money, others with great expense of labor and effort, but all in a spirit of devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, if you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. If we satisfy Krishna, all of our heart's true desires will be fulfilled. So many offerings laid out in such a decorative style for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and their devotees. I'm just so gratefully pleased to see the earnest efforts and devotion that went into this. Some devotees even gave up sleeping to prepare their little mountain for Sri Giriraj. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days of his earthly lila, he expressed his desire to perform the parikrama of Govardhan Hill.
How is it possible? He couldn't even walk one step. His body was so emaciated due to the inevitable old age of a body, he couldn't even stand up. How to do parikrama of Govardhan Hill, 21 kilometers around? Prabhupada said, "On bullock. You get oxen and cart and take me on bullock. Where is Lokanath Swami? Bring your oxen, bring your bullock cart, and take me around Govardhan Hill." The doctor said, "Bullock cart? So much shaking. His body is nothing but bones. It will just break apart. He will die. It's impossible. He cannot survive." So the devotees expressed this concern of Srila Prabhupada. They told him, "Prabhupada, doing parikrama of Govardhan in your condition is suicide. We cannot allow this." Prabhupada said, "No, no. Ox carts are very comfortable. No problem. Take me. I want to do the parikrama. You must take me. It is my order." Devotees were trying to figure out what to do. In the next room, the leaders of our society were in a trauma that if we take Prabhupada, he will die. But if we don't, we're disobeying his order. Some devotees were saying, "We must take him. It is his order. We have to take him." And others were saying, "But we are his servants. The servant cannot kill their guru. If we take him, we're killing him." Out of intimate love and affection for Prabhupada, people were crying. Their hearts were just torn to pieces. And there was much fighting and even anger between the two sides. So finally, the devotees, they came before Prabhupada weeping and crying, crying and crying. And at that time, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Prabhupada's dear godbrother and friend, came in. And Prabhupada, in his condition where he could not hardly even talk, he smiled. And he looked at his beloved godbrother and said, "See how they love me so much." And to satisfy the desires of the devotees, he agreed to stay in Vrindavan. Prabhupada performed this pastime. An immortal soul cannot understand in full what the great significance of this lila was. On one, he was just expertly bringing out the most intimate affections of love and service from the hearts of his devotees. But he was also showing to his disciples for all generations to come his sublime realization. The six Goswamis and many of our acharyas, they worship Govardhan Hill as the holiest of holy places, including Sri Radha Kund. And Prabhupada, his final lila was expressing his intimate heart's longing to be at Govardhan Hill, the favorite place of Sri Sri Radha Krishna's pastimes, as well as the favorite place of Sri Krishna Balaram's pastimes. Prabhupada's love for Sri Giriraj is affecting people's lives all over the world on this day as we are celebrating Sri Govardhan Puja. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Let us first of all offer our prostrated obeisances at his lotus feet. For it is he, that great disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who has given us the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Giridhari Krishna. By following his divine instructions and serving him and his glorious mission, we too will find the shelter of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That is our prayer, that is our hope, and that is our faith. Govardhan Puja is a glorious festival of joy. Because when we come together to hear and chant the glories of Krishna in such a wonderful way and make our offerings with such humility and devotion, the mercy of the Lord showers upon us, within and without. At this very moment in Vrindavan, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of temples performing the Anakuta. And Prabhupada explains, in Vrindavan, the mountains of food they throw at the crowds, and the crowds gather to somehow or other catch one remnant of Giriraj. And even if that prasad falls on the floor where thousands of feet are trampling, still without hesitation they will eat that prasad. Because there's faith that prasad is not ordinary food. It is blessed by the mercy of Krishna. It is transcendental. At Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we used to throw the prasad, but for various justified reasons, now we distribute it by handing it to people. So that wonderful ceremony of distributing the prasad of Sri Giriraj will take place. But first of all, we will have kirtan. With great joy, let us very loudly sing the holy names of the Lord and dance with enthusiasm, simply to fulfill Shukadev Goswami's prayer that Govinda will be pleased upon us. Thank you very much. After this kirtan, there are cows assembled in the front courtyard where devotees will perform Gopuja, a very important part of the process of worshipping on this day of Govardhan Puja. In fact, Krishna told the Brijavasis, and through them to all of us, that there is great merit to performing the Govardhan Puja according to Krishna's instructions. However, if devotees do not offer this puja properly, there is every danger of being bitten by the snakes on Govardhan Hill. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Govardhan Puja ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.